For a child will be born for us. A son will be given to us. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. This past month as a church, we've been huddled around this passage of Scripture as our focus for Christmas. And it's not in the book of Luke. It's not the story of his birth, which we celebrate. It's not the nativity scene. It's not about the shepherds who came. But it is about Jesus. And it tells us about his coming and what that would mean for us. This was written by the prophet Isaiah approximately 700 years before Jesus would come. And the prophet Isaiah was speaking in Revelation about who Jesus would be. And he said, Jesus will be called these things. Jesus will be called these things. He said, a child will be born for us, given to us. Knowing who we are, knowing who we would be, God so loved the world that he sent his son for us, for me. This is the time that we celebrate the coming of our King. This is the time that we celebrate the birth of our Jesus. And I make a clarification for us, those of us who have gathered here, that we don't exactly celebrate the same thing that the world celebrates, even though we celebrate on the same day, even though we call it the same thing. This isn't for us about a guy in a big red coat coming down chimneys, though all of that is fun to pretend sometimes. As much as we want to be with our families, and we've all set aside time for that, this isn't even about time with family. This holiday isn't about that. It certainly isn't about giving gifts, though that's fun too, and it adds to our celebration. It isn't about food, though there's some people have left some on my desk and I will use that as part of my celebration. Some people have brought some by my house. Some people have invited me into their house. I've had plenty of food and it's all helped in my celebration of Jesus. Yeah. I'm glad we're friends. There should be opportunities to share all of those things. But we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And it is only right and fitting that we make it a big deal. Jesus coming to earth changed everything for everyone ever. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus came, he would be known as these things. He would be a wonderful counselor. He would be a mighty God. He would be our eternal Father. And he would be the Prince of Peace. Over the last month, we've gone through three of those names, and tonight we finish with Prince of Peace. As a wonderful counselor, we know that we can look to our God for wisdom. We can look to him for guidance and direction. As our relationship with him grows, we learn that we can trust in his ways. And so more and more I call on him as counselor. He is more and more the God that directs my ways. Because the way that Adam Johnson would go about life is kind of messy. It's definitely destructive. It includes chaos. As I grow in my knowledge of Him, in my relationship with Him, I find Him to be a wonderful counselor. When God gives us those directions and instructions for our lives, they are for our good and for His glory. We try to go through this life on our own, and look where it gets us. Some of you may be doing that right now. I remember when Obama was president for a while, there were some bumper stickers that came out that said, "How's all that hopey changey stuff for you?" And I thought that that was funny, but it kind of applies to this too, where it's like, oh, how is doing life your own way working out? Maybe it's good. But probably not. This may not be everyone's story, but I know a lot of stories. And even for the people who have the material things figured out, they're empty and sad inside. Isaiah 28:29 says, "This also comes from the Lord of armies. He gives wondrous advice. He gives great wisdom." David wrote about God in the Psalms, in Psalm 73, verse 24. He said, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me up in glory." That's a wonderful thing. You guide me with your counsel. And so as I read the Bible and attempt to apply those things to my life, as I pray and get direction, as I go about life trying to be more like Jesus, I find Him to be a wonderful counselor. When we relate to Jesus, as we celebrate Jesus, we should consider Him that. Wonderful counselor. He is able and willing to listen and advise. He is able and willing to care and direct. And He will be called a wonderful counselor. He will be called Mighty God. After considering the way that He thinks and the wondrous counseling way of Him, we have to consider the power that He contains. He is ultimately strong and ultimately God. To make that really simple, Jesus is for us enough. He is enough. Strength serves one purpose. Might serves one purpose. It is the ability to do things. I can only do what I'm strong enough to do. That's the test of my ability. What can you accomplish? In my house, I am proud to say, I am the lifter of heavy things. I am the reacher of things in high places. The opener of jars and cans. There is function to strength. My strength gives me purpose. For those that I love, my strength provides some level of comfort. Not just physical strength, but my ability to handle stuff. And sometimes, things just need to be handled. They were talking earlier about a phrase that I share in my house. And that is, I'm going to see a man about a dog. And that means I'm going to go do a thing that my wife doesn't get to ask questions about. Because I'm not answering those questions. I'm going to go do a thing. And she can trust me in that because she knows who I am. This is not for bad. Nothing bad for us will come of it. I'm just not answering any questions about it right now. I got to go do a thing. Sometimes it's go to pick up a flute. That's what we did the other day. Me and the kids went to see a man about a dog, and we went to get a flute. That was fun. But it's an expression of my strength. I'm going to go do a thing, and it needs to be handled. For us to consider Jesus the mighty God, speaks of his ability to handle stuff, which means handling all of my problems, handling all of my inefficiencies, my deficiencies, handling all of my failures, handling my nature as a sinful person. We have to wrap our head around the fact that Jesus is both strong enough physically and in his nature as God to do whatever he sets himself to do. He is our mighty God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And from him, and to him, and through him, all things. Exodus chapter 14, verse 14 says, "The Lord will fight for you, and you must be quiet." That is something we suck at, our part in that, right? The Lord will fight for you, and you get to shut up and sit over there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness." He gave us everything we need because he is strong enough. So I get to be changed because God is strong enough to change me. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 20. See, this is really hard because these things are so prevalent in Scripture. They saturate all of the Bible so much that we could be here all night talking about these four names. And that would be a lot of fun. I'm going to skip a few. Isaiah chapter 40, 28 through 31 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youths may become faint and weary, and young men will stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint." Ephesians chapter 3, 20 and 21 say, "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. There is nothing that my God cannot do. There is nothing beyond his power. There is nothing beyond his capability. As Christians today, our ultimate hope is in the power of Jesus. He is a mighty God. He is our eternal Father. Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the beginning and the end. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And then in his eternal nature, we find comfort because he does not change. He is not fickle. He does not change. His ways are his ways. They're better than mine. But they don't change. His expectations of me are the same. And so I can meet them. I know what I'm shooting for. It is not a moving target with my God. He is one way forever. And so as I practice, as I work towards it, I become closer and closer and closer to the point. In that eternal nature, we find comfort because he does not change. And in that nature of being from everlasting to everlasting, he is a loving Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, "And I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Psalm 103, verse 13 says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." The relationship that we have with our God is father and children. And it's good father and children. Some of us only had bad examples of that. But he is perfect in every sense of the word. This is a good father that loves his children. There's a love that comes with Jesus that can only be described in the way a good dad loves his children. It's a feeling that runs deep. It's a love that we can't really comprehend. But in mortal men, the love of a good father makes us do some crazy things. There's a compassion and care and generosity. There is provision and sacrifice. In mortal men, I've seen you work all of the hours. I've seen you do all the things. I've seen you crawl in the mud. I've seen you do the stuff. Because you loved your kids. Jesus is the perfect example of that. He is perfectly perfect in that. He's our Father who loves us, cares for us, provides for us, has compassion on us, guides us, directs us, gives us wisdom, shows up when we need Him to, when we call on Him, He's there. Less than a phone call away, Jesus is there when I need Him. He is my Father. And lastly, He is our Prince of Peace. To say Jesus is a prince speaks of His eternal royalty and importance. He has no equal. He is of most importance. When He speaks, things happen. We have a running joke that I'm the king in my house. Right? I even got a mug that says king right on it. And I think that's funny. But when I speak in my house, certain things happen, right? When Jesus speaks, the world was created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was created without Him. Because He's Jesus. When He decides, it is so. His suggestions are declarations. He's incredible. Because everything under heaven and earth answers to Him. In Matthew 28:18, it says, Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That's my Jesus. And in that, He gives us peace. Peace is the absence of conflict. It's a concept that's very difficult for us to understand, especially in modern times, because we've got conflict all over, all the time, everywhere. In every sense of the word. And not just conflict as in war, which we have. We have too much war. But conflict as in hunger, strife, relationships. It is not only violence that is paused, but it is that there is violence no more. There is conflict no more because Jesus. There cannot be conflict in His presence. He ends it. He is the Prince of Peace. He brings peace in every situation. First and foremost, He brings us peace with God. He reconciled us to the Father. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21 says, everything is from God who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ and has given us ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. Jesus came so that we would have right relationship with God the Father. We get to go to heaven because Jesus. And this is an incredible passage of Scripture. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making His appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. He brings peace in our relationship with God. He brings peace in our well-being, completeness, wholeness, an absence of lacking. He brings peace in our relationships, in our situations. He brings prosperity and wholeness. He brings enough. Sometimes that is in giving us more. Sometimes that is in making us good with less. He brings health. Again, sometimes that is in restoration, and sometimes that is in contentment. It's peace. All things available to us because Jesus, our God, born of the Virgin Mary, is the Prince of Peace. And you might be saying, Pastor, that sounds really good, but there are a lot of Christians that ain't living like they have any peace whatsoever. And I would say you are right. And I think that myself. In fact, I know that of myself. I know that I'm struggling. I know that on a day-to-day basis, and Eden and I have been talking about this for days, we don't see enough peace. We're struggling out there. But it isn't for a lack of Jesus, at least not a lack of his part of the equation. Because he exists in his eternal nature as the Prince of Peace. So if he's there, perfectly peaceful, and I'm struggling, it's not his fault. It's just me. It's because we're out here in the world. We live day to day. And the world, in case you didn't know, sucks most of the time. We live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. We live in a place where there is conflict all around us all the time, where things are against us all the time. But that isn't what he wants for us. There are times where we have hardships so that we grow. But there's a lot of things that are happening out there because the world is a broken place. That isn't what he wants for us. He offers us peace. He gives us peace. But that peace is found in him. It's not found everywhere else. It's not found in all the other places we might be looking. He offers us peace. He gives us peace in him. And we aren't always there. In fact, I was talking to a guy in Farm and Home this morning, and he was talking about his prayer life and his devotional life, and I was envious of that. I said, dude, that is intense. He said, I know, and I need it. I need it every day. I need it to be just like this. I need it to fall in this way. And I thought, wowza, I need to get in on that group call. I need to be a part of these things because I need more Jesus. I need more peace. We're struggling out there because we're not always with him. Sometimes we're not with Jesus because the world requires us to be somewhere else. Some of us got mortgage payments, and that requires us to go to a job that is often thankless, deals with nonsensical people in nonsensical situations in terrible ways. And it's hard to, if your boss is here, you're not allowed to make comments, okay? Okay, we're going to go on. Sometimes we're not there with Jesus because we're stuck in our own heads and our heads say, hey, this is really dumb. What you really need is more drama, or cookies, or alcohol, or drugs, or brokenness. You need whatever the world has got to offer you because you're so far gone, we get stuck in our own heads. It's hard to find Jesus when I'm rattling around in my own brain. sometimes we're not with the Lord. Sometimes we're not in step with Him the way we need to be because the enemy has us. And the Bible says he's a liar and a good one. Anybody ever met a good liar? Their lies look like truth, smell like truth. They got lies to back up their other lies, to lead us down a path of lies. And all of a sudden we're believing all sorts of things that are not true at all. Sometimes we're not with Jesus because the enemy has got us right where he wants us. But that's not what Jesus has for us. He is the Prince of Peace. He offers peace. He offers reconciliation. And he not only offers it, he gives it, he demands it, he requires it of the world. The reality is that today there is conflict. Today, the world gets to mess around. Today, people get to fight with their guns and their fists. Today, people are going hungry. But Jesus brings eternal peace. He defeats the enemy. In case you were wondering, the end of the story is he wins. He casts the enemy into the lake of darkness, the lake of fire. He sets right the wrongs of the world. He is the Prince of Peace. He makes everything right again. That is his nature. That's who he will be. We call God Jehovah Shalom, God our peace, because he has it available for us. So those of us like me who have been struggling, even though, hey, we're celebrating Christmas, don't feel like we've had any peace. Need to sit down with the Lord a little bit. Slow down a little bit. Spend some time in the Word. Spend some time in worship. And you can do that and not be here. I'm not sure if you guys know that. You can worship anywhere you go. And we need to. Tomorrow, most of the stores are closed. Tomorrow, most of the world slows down. Tomorrow, we get a little bit of a break. Tomorrow is Christmas. Spend some time with Jesus and celebrate the Prince of Peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled or fearful." It's our Christmas message today. Jesus said to his people, that's us, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you." And we already know what his peace is like. It's always and forever. It is complete. It is whole. It is in every aspect of every nature of our own selves. It is in everything that we need. It is wholeness. It is provision. It is restoration. No matter where you are tonight in your walk with the Lord, you need more Jesus. You need more peace. I've been telling the kids in our house, this is going to be the best Christmas of our entire lives. And in their brains, it's all about presents. And that's okay, because they're little. My kids know a lot about Jesus. They know a whole lot more about wrapped presents under the tree, because they're little. It's going to be the best Christmas of my life, because I know Jesus better than I ever have before. And I know that after we do this, this is work for me, but after we do this, I get to stop. And tomorrow we do nothing. Tomorrow I celebrate Jesus with my family. I celebrate all the wonderful things that he's done for us this year. And it's been a wild, crazy year. The provision in our lives has been insane. The health in our lives has been crazy. The things that God has done for us has been incredible. Tomorrow we stop, and I know that, and I'm so excited for it. It'll be the best Christmas of my life.